We're in Genesis chapter 3. Remember, we were looking at the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the same three things we mentioned that there in Genesis, the enemy is still tempting us with. Nothing different. He's very predictable. He has no power over you other than that which you give. He has the power to tempt you and dangle whatever temptation in front of you. But ultimately, God, He always provides a way of escape, the Bible says. And as He provides a way of escape, will we take it? That's the only thing. Oftentimes we recognize it, but we don't take it. And if God has provided a way of escape through some things that you're going through or being tempted by, take it. You see the open door, just run right through it. It's okay. It's a safe place that God has provided for you. If we choose not to, then oftentimes we suffer the consequences of our sin, that which we sow, of course, we're going to reap. There's times as we live in a time of grace, it's not so that sin could abound more. Of course not, Paul says. But when we do suffer consequences, it's a time of learning for us. If we don't learn through the grace period where God gives us grace and we do things and we got away with it. This is pretty good. So then I'll do it again, you know, and well, God must not be upset because nothing's happened. So I'll do it again. And it's ridiculous because we jump into the fire of sin and we get away with it at first, you know, it's like, you know, you can stand in the fire. No problem. Get a little heat, but not bad. But if you continue to go back periodically over and over again, and then you linger longer and longer, watch out. That's what sin does. It consumes us. It just burns away the things, the good things that God has provided in our life. We're going to talk about the good things, like the manna from heaven. Over in Genesis, it said that it was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And we talked about how he started dealing the consequences, and the consequences fell upon Adam and Eve, but he didn't curse them. Why? Because he had already blessed them. And the book of James says that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. So it's yours. What if I have a gift and I've been in sin for these years? Would God use me again? If your heart is right, God will use you again. If it's not, He won't. Or He'll use that gift in a different way. You would think it'd be the same way, but He says, no, you burnt that up. But I have a new way of you using your gift. And let God use the gift. Come back to the Lord. Let God use the gifts that are in you. He doesn't take them away. He didn't curse the woman. He cursed the serpent. He didn't curse the man. He cursed the ground. Hence, thorns and thistles came up and weeds and things. And by the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to provide a living for yourself. It's going to be more difficult than it was before. Out of that perfect environment, now we live in a cursed environment, who Satan has a little bit of room to run, but nevertheless, God will redeem the earth just like He redeemed us out of the earth. Egypt is always a type of the world in Scripture. And God pulled them out of Egypt, and He can pull you out of Egypt. He can pull you out of the world. But you got to be willing. You can't be half-hearted, because then you'll be in the fire, out of the fire. In the fire, out of the fire. Don't get stuck there. It says in verse 20 of chapter 3, Adam called his wife's name Eve. Why? Because it means giver of life or life giver. Kava, it means to live. And she was the mother of all living. Remember, we looked in Genesis, in the beginning, Elohim, powerful name. Elohim was given, the creator, all-knowing, all-omniscient, omnipresent. There's Elohim creating, powerful. Remember when the enemy tempted, he said, they already knew him as Yahweh, as the Lord God. And he goes, has Elohim, Almighty God, said you couldn't eat of anything in the garden? And that's where it starts. We start looking at God as a tyrant. That's what the enemy plants in our head. But he says, no, I'm Yahweh. I'm that caring, tender, loving. And in the midst of the consequences, he doesn't take joy in the consequences. But how else are you going to learn? How else did I learn but through the consequences of life, and finally said, enough is enough. I'm dumb, but I'm not that dumb. I got to get out of this situation. And the Lord God for Adam and his wife, Yahweh, He cares for you. Oh, yeah, well, then why am I going through all this? That's at your hand. You made the wrong choices. I made the wrong choices. You saw the way escape. I saw the way escape. You didn't take it. I didn't take it at one time. Now when you see him, you're more apt to take it, hopefully. More apt to be conformed to his will and his word. Yahweh made tunics of skin and clothed them. Because of their sin, something had to die to cover their shame. Nakedness is always a type of sin in Scripture. Jesus didn't hang there with a little covering. They used to hang them naked to shame them further, to shame the family. And our sin sometimes brings shame to our family and those around us. We need to turn away from ourselves. Turn to Yahweh. Turn to God. Same idea as what Jesus did. Jesus covered our sin. He bore our nakedness, if you will. And as he did that, our sins are covered. The covering was what the animals and the sacrifice of that did. God took away our sins, wiped them clean, white as snow, purified us. He's our covering. When we meet the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a white covering over us. It's his righteousness, not your righteousness. You're not going to get there by being good. You're being good because you love Jesus. No other reason. And you love his word. But it's his righteousness that's cloaked over us on that day. And even now. Turn, if you will, to Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 20. We need to be aware of what we're doing. Do not be unaware. We should not lust after evil things. Our flesh is weird. We know this. And it often craves things that are not good for us. Or not holy or pure, like the Bible says to meditate on. Because we're sinners. We have this and this right now. Because of what happened over in chapter 3. And it says now, the lust of the flesh, in verse 1 of chapter 11 of the book of Numbers. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some on the outskirts of the camp. So we're going to be looking at three different portions of Christianity, if you will. There's the outskirts of the camp, there's the mixed multitude, and then there's those who are drawing nearer to God. So you have people in the midst of the camp who are keeping themselves warm around the fire. We've all been there at some point or another if you've been camping. You're around the fire and you're keeping warm in the cool air of the mountains here in Santa Fe or in northern New Mexico. And it gets cold, even in the summer. And you're there. And people, I remember we used to go camping and we used to get a bunch of people together from church back in the old days. And there'd be, 20 families sometimes. It just turned in from out of two people just camping, two families camping. And they'd gather around and they'd have guitars and we'd start singing and worshiping around the fire. And inevitably there was Christians in all different walks of their Christianity. And you'd see those ones who were participating and they were around the fire. And it reminded me of this verse. And then there was others who were kind of out there picking at the food and drinking some sodas and stuff. Then there was others, no real interest in the community of the saints or the congregation of them getting together and worshiping. Not even interested in hanging out with the ones who, but they're in their campers or their tents all by themselves. They're just doing their own thing there, whatever it is, isolated from. That's the picture it gives over here. So when the people did what? Complain. Notice God said, oh, that's so sweet. I love you so much. No, he says it displeased the Lord. First note we want to look at is what happens when we complain. We can find all kinds of reasons to complain. You can get up in the morning, look in the mirror and start complaining. We all find something wrong with ourselves and we'll start to complain. We look at our paycheck. We could complain. We look at our housing. We could complain. I was sharing with someone. I said, where do you guys live? He was telling me. I said, you should have seen the shack Yvonne and I lived in. It was literally a shack. I told him, like in a porch, you see the wood underneath, the TNG. And then there's the tar paper on top. That was our roof. No insulation. It was down in Española. No insulation in the wall. There were block walls. It was cold. The windows were old. It was probably about 80 years old or more of the house. Drafty. Mice. We could have lived off the mice in that house. there's holes everywhere. And we didn't complain. It was so cool. That's what I loved about Yvonne. She didn't complain. She made it her own. She cleaned everything, you know, disinfected everything. It was amazing. That's where we got pregnant with Melanie. So it's a special little shack. I drive by there every now and then. I don't go to Española as much anymore since my mom passed away, but when I do, I usually go by there and look at the shack. Don't complain. We'd go to Stop and Eat. You know where Stop and Eat is over in Española? And we were broke, and we'd get the change from the vehicles, and we'd go buy a hamburger, and we'd cut it in half, and we'd share it, you know? And see, God will lift you up in His time. Just commit yourselves to God. Give Him a chance to work. Don't be stubborn. Look for those ways of escape. Start to conform to His ways. Let Him be the lifter of your head. You don't have to walk in shame, in sorrow, in nakedness. Let God lift you up. Give Him the opportunity. He has the ability, but we have to be willing. Don't complain wherever you're at right now in life. Don't complain, whether it's by your own hand or circumstances. It displeased the Lord. He heard it. His anger was aroused, and so the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them in the outskirts of the camp. Notice the fire in the center of the camp didn't consume them. The fire consumed those who were outside, in the outskirts, on the borderline, the fringe, who darkened the door of a church maybe a couple times a year, maybe five. And you see that the further we are from the Lord, the more the enemy, the more the fires can consume you. It's where the enemy picks off the weak ones. I like wildlife documentaries, the wolves or the lions. And you see who they go after, the ones that are all together. It's the ones that are out there all by themselves. I don't need to be that clean. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I don't got to go to church all the time. I don't need to go to Bible study. If I want to read the Bible, I'll read it at home. And you isolate yourself. There are no lone Christians, if you will. That's where the wolves come in. They know. They smell it. They know when you're out there. And they're quick to pack and quick to attack. Be careful being in the outskirts. If you're an outskirts kind of person, be careful. Come home. Come back to the Lord. In verse 2, the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. Notice Moses here. He sees the difficulties that they're having, those outskirt people, and he intercedes. He sees God dealing with them and consuming them with fire. Maybe you're consumed and things are outside your grip or your control anymore. God's loving you. He only disciplines those He loves. Come back to the Lord. What's our position? To condemn you, to provoke you to anger, to pick on you or look down? No. Those of us who are close to the fire, we don't look down on that. What we do is we make intercession for one another. That's what we do. And so he called the name of the place Taberah, which means burning. Why? Because the Lord burned them. Because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude, those are the ones who are a little bit closer in, were among them, yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat?" What were they talking about? Well, you recall they were feeding off of what in the wilderness? Manna. God was providing for them. They didn't have to do anything but harvest it. Think about it. Here, the manna, you just go outside. That's breakfast manna. It describes how they prepare it here in a little bit. And all they had to do, because once like the dew shows up in the morning, the manna would show up and they'd go and they'd harvest it. You couldn't save the manna. You had to get rid of it. You know, if you pick too much, you know how we are. Why do you think we have big box stores like Sam's Club? Oh, we gotta buy a bunch. We can't just go to the store and buy one bag of tortillas. We have to go, we're saving 50 cents, so you buy 20 bags of tortillas. And then you put them in the freezer, and then after about 4 months of eating those, they're kind of freezer burn, kind of, and you end up throwing them away. That was the manna. You'd gather the manna, and you try storing it and hoarding like we like to hoard. No, it'd go bad. It was an example of the Word of God for us today. Everything is done in those days was for an example for our benefit. And what we do, you can't just survive off one devotional a day. Every day you have to seek. And don't get lazy. And if I step on any toes, I'm sorry. Don't get lazy and say, well, I just look it up and let somebody read to me. Well, no. You read the Word. God wants to talk to you specifically. He doesn't want to just talk to me, to you through me. He wants to talk to you. I mean, wouldn't it be ridiculous if I would tell my kids, tell your mother how much I love her. Give your mother a kiss for me. I can see if we're apart, you're on a mission trip, you're out of town on business, whatever, you can say that on the phone. But for me to live in the house and say, not tell her I love her, not hold her in my arms and whisper into her ear, for me to have someone else do it, that's ridiculous. Yet we do that with God. He wants personal time with us, each one of us. Let him speak to you. The quietness, the stillness, make sure it's a still time. Turn off the phone. It's okay. Turn it off. At the very least, silence it and put it in the other room and just get alone with the Lord. It's okay. We're so codependent in our society. We have to be around people all the time. We have to have some kind of noise on. I saw the TV was on and Josh and I walked in and we were the only ones in the house at that time. Well, who turned the TV on? I don't know. I didn't turn the TV on. I didn't turn it on. And it's still going. Turn that off. Let's go outside. How do I love my grandson or my grandkids? Alone. You know, there's all different gamuts of love and family and everything, but the best times are when I'm alone with them, you know? Just be with them. That's what God wants with you guys. Be with him. It moves on. These mixed multitude people in verse 4. The mixed multitudes who were among them, they yielded to intense craving. And the children of Israel wept and said, who will give us meat to eat? What were they doing? They're living in the past. Some of us live in the past. There was maybe some great things that happened to us, some accomplishments, whatever it may be. High school being one. Don't get stuck in high school. You don't want to be a 40-year-old woman reliving your high school days. That's wrong. That's not normal. But don't live there. Move on. Change is good. Something good will come out of it. If you don't like change, that's not a good thing because God is a moving. He's alive. Change is good. It stretches you. It challenges you. It helps you to grow as complete as God wants you to be. Don't get stuck somewhere. Be open to the options that God has. He has lots of options for you. Don't be afraid to take the challenge. They were stuck in the world. In Egypt, they had leeks and garlic and the flesh pots the Bible talks about. They had all the meat and all the spices that the world has to offer, the spice of life. Here we're stuck with manna, everyday manna. Manna burgers, manna dogs, manna enchiladas, manna, manna, manna. And they started to complain with the provisions God was providing. I met a gentleman. I went to Home Depot and this guy asked me, have you seen so-and-so? And I said, you know, I haven't. Well, you guys were really good buddies way back. Yeah, I know. I just, you know, life happens. And there at Home Depot, going through the door, who do I see? That guy. Hey, how's it going? Good to see you. Didn't recognize you with the gray hair. Didn't recognize you with your gray hair, you know? And so we're hugging and talking. We stayed there for an hour. And he was sharing with me some of the things that are going through his life and with his kids and everything. And it was an opportunity for us to reconnect and talk. And I said, you know, well, with this one kid, we cry out to the Lord and we ask God to help them in the situation. And then God is interceding, but we don't like the way he's doing it. And that's what we're doing. We're complaining. We have this preconceived idea. And then when life takes its turns, we complain. Well, I'm just going to walk away from this. No. That's when you should draw closer when things aren't going what you expect because God is going to use them. I can tell you what it's like to hike up a mountain trail and what you're going to see and the beauty of the flowers and the beauty of the sky when you come over the ridge, the beauty of the valley as you start to see it. But you'll never know till you go through it. And sometimes God has to take us through the valleys to show us the mountain peaks, to be able to see the beauty of a walk with Jesus, the difficulties, the temptations, and the failures so that he can restore our kids when they fail. And kids, take advantage of the chances God is giving you to be restored to your family, to be restored to the Lord. All these things are for us to experience. And here, they were in the world because of rebellion, and now they're starting to rebel again. The mixed multitude. They yielded to intense craving. There's four things I wrote down. Do you like to complain? Do you complain? Do you crave things that are not good for you? Are you contagious? I mean, because you complain, you cause others to complain because it's contagious. Because you crave, you cause others to crave because it's contagious. How many Christians haven't fallen by the wayside because other Christians led them into temptation? And do you concede? Do you give in? Are you a people pleaser? Well, I only did it because they wanted to do it. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and don't concede. Those are the four things I see here. And in verse 5, we remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, all these good things that we had. They forgot. They were thinking about the food. They forgot that they were in hard bondage, in slavery, and they were beat, and they had taskmasters, and we forget the difficulties that life comes our way. You know how many stupid things I did when I was in the party world? Cars that were wrecked, jail that you had to pay for, fines, tickets, fights. Where do you stop? But it was so much fun back there in high school. Fun? I was always in trouble.
I wasn't a good kid.
And it's like, why do I want to go by there? Half the friends have died of OD. Others are dying of alcoholism. Others have lung cancer. I want to go back? I don't want to go back. If it's to go back, it's to minister. And that's it. They're thinking of all the good things and forgetting about the bad. And in verse 6, but now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before your eyes, complaining about what God has provided. Just like Paul, I've lost, been up, been down, been sick, been healthy, whatever it is. Happy, what's happy? Happy is based on happenstance. What's going on in your world right now that makes you happy? Well, I got a great job. I just bought a new car. I'm happy. God never said, I'll make you happy. I'll give you joy. So that even when the chips are down, there's joy. When we were the brokest, God blessed us with a child. When we got broke again, God blessed us. You know how their shoes never wore out? Our cars didn't wear out. The tires didn't wear out. That's weird. Maybe they're 50,000. I know I bought 20,000. That's all I could afford. Mile tires. I remember one time the washing machine broke. And I told Yvonne, I don't know how to fix it. I'll say, well, I'll look at it. I tore it apart. I couldn't find nothing wrong. I don't know why it wasn't working. I put it all back together, few screws left over. And I went outside and I said, God, we're broke. I can't afford to pay someone it was one of those times where everything was breaking. It was the valley times. And I said, God, and I just prayed. I went out in the dark into the field. And I prayed, and I said, God, please help her. I don't know what we're going to do. Came back in. Yvonne's making the traditional Hispanic food, beans and chili, potatoes, tortillas. And she comes, and she gives me a big hug, and she kisses me. She says, babe, you're the best. I love you so much. You can fix anything. And I go, what? Thanks for fixing the washing machine. I go, I'm going to fix the washing machine. It's working. It was working. God does that, not us. Just be in a good place wherever you're at. It goes on to say in verse 7, now the manna was like coriander seed in its color, little description, like the color of delium. And the people went about and they gathered it. They ground it on millstones, or they beat it into the mortar, and they cooked it in pans, or they made cakes out of it. Its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with honey. You know, and I love pastries. You know, enjoy. It's good stuff. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at their door of his tent. Everybody's complaining at his tent. And the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused, and Moses also was displeased. A little while ago, he was making intercessory prayer for them. Now look where he's at. Are you contagious? Check it out. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? Now he's praying about himself, not about them. Oh, God, why me? Why did you give me these stubborn sheep, God? Why? Why would you do that to me? Couldn't you give me some good ones like the church over there? We find ourselves complaining about ridiculous things. We're here to serve a servant. I'm a servant. All you guys are servants. And he says, why did you do this to me, Lord? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them? I didn't ask for them. You gave them to me. He's doing the same thing Adam did. The wife you gave me, Lord. It's your fault. You gave me these people, Lord. I didn't want them. To carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to your fathers. It wasn't even a promise to me. It was to them. And I'm stuck with all these whiners. God, what do I do? Million plus, many people believe. Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep all over me saying, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. You see, you're not supposed to bear the burden, guys. You're supposed to seek his face. How do the pastors make it through? They're close to God. It doesn't faze them. They know their call. They're here to serve. If you treat me like this, please, just kill me. Take me out, Lord, and do it now. Now he's commanding when to kill him. You don't tell God when to heal, when to retaliate against your enemies. You're called to pray for your enemies. You're called not to rejoice when your enemies fall. You're called to love your enemies. And here he's thinking he's in charge, and if I have found favor in your sight, you know, if you even do exist, Lord, come on. If you even love me, you don't love me. Why would I be going through this? You don't love me. You're just not happy with the happenstance in your life, which in my life is usually what I create. And do not let me see my wretchedness. I'm tired of this. Just let me die. So the Lord said to Moses, gather me 70 men, to me 70 men, of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come. You don't tell me when to do things. I'll do it in my time. Then I will come down and talk with you there. Some of you, you need to hear God. He wants to talk with you. You need to seek him. I will take of the spirit that is upon you and will put the same upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it alone, bear it yourself alone. God provides help. He's put people around Yvonne and I to help us a bunch in one capacity or another. And they shall say to the people, consecrate yourself tomorrow, for you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, who will give us meat to eat. For it was well with us in Egypt, therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. This is the part where you've heard, be careful what you pray for, because you just might get it. Oh, you want meat. You want the things of the world. Okay, okay. You don't want the things that I provide. You don't want the things that I'm here giving you. Okay, you want meat from the world? You got it. And they get it. Notice what happens. But for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils, they're going to eat meat till they're sick and becomes loathsome to you. Why? Because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before me saying, why did we ever come out of Egypt? God pulls you out of all the junk and you complain because we're complainers. And then he allows you to go back to the junk and he's still offering us an opportunity to come out. Isn't he good? Doesn't he love you? Aren't you still alive? Aren't you still eating? And if you get over yourself, if we get over ourselves, we can enjoy where we're at with God. Even if it's in a shack with mice everywhere, and new life will come from it. Just like our daughter Melon. Guys, don't complain. Stop going to the world. And Moses said to the people, who am I among the 600,000 man on foot. Yet you have said, I will give them meat that they may eat for a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough meat for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? Notice what he says. Who am I? It's not your job, Moses, to provide for him. I'm going to do it, God said. He's saying, I can't do this. Where am I going to get all this meat from, Lord? We limit God. We think he can't provide a way out. And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Have I not provided for you up till now? Do you think I can't do it? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. And when Moses went out and he told the people the words of the Lord, they gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them all around the tabernacle. God caused all these birds. They could catch them. They were dropping out of the sky. They ate meat literally till it came out of their nose. You want meat? God will give you meat. Be careful what you pray for. Be satisfied with the things God provides, great or small. Enjoy those valleys because God shows himself strong. Enjoy the climb. Enjoy the mountain peak. And when valleys come again, enjoy. God is giving you joy. Don't blow it on useless things. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy you've given us. And Father, we ask that you would help us not to complain. Help us not to be out in the outskirts or the mixed multitude. Help us not to be dwelling in the past or living in the past, Lord God, in old glories. Even as Christians, help us as we get older not to live off of the experiences we had in the past. You have new experiences for us right now, wherever we're at. Help us not to crave the things of the world, and we know we will, but help us not to submit to those cravings. Father, help us not to be contagious. Lord forbid we should cause anyone to stumble, lest you put a millstone around our neck and toss us into the abyss. Help us not to be people pleasers, not to concede to sin for the sake of our reputation or, well, what will they think if I don't? Help us to be strong in Christ. Help us to stand strong, to be brave. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Have a great rest of the week.